I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood in Chicago, Illinois. Went to definitely a predominantly black high school. So my first interaction or real contact with people of another color or white people was when I came to ISU. I had never been around that many Caucasian people before, nor have I ever interacted with them. So it was definitely a cultural shock and a difference for me to be in a town where I was the minority, where I came from a place where in the area I was in, everybody looked like me. So it was a lot different.
When you say different, were you treated differently?
And that's one of the things. I don't think I recognized it at first, that I was treated different. I guess as years passed and as I witnessed more things, I could see that I was treated more of a distance. In my case, it's always been, since I'm a taller, larger black man, that I have more people fear me than really act out in racism toward me. So I don't really get a lot of, I would say, people coming at me. But as far as law enforcement, I've been pulled over, I've been watched, I even remember a time when I was going around in the bars downtown Normal, just with some guys, and I have never been a big drinker, so I'm not a big drinker, but the police actually came into a bar and pulled me out.
When was this?
Back sometime when I first got here, there was a murder in Bloomington. I think a guy, I can't remember, but I think he shot somebody in a daycare or something. This guy must have been probably like 5'8", 180 pounds. And I've been 5'8", and 180 pounds since my freshman in high school. So I'm about 6'2". I probably was about 220, 30. And the police came and got me out of the bar. And I had a, because I was wearing a hat. And he told me the reason he pulled me out, started searching me and patting me down. I asked him, why was you patting me down? He said, well, there was a report that there was a black gentleman with a hat on who could be the killer from that incident. And I said, well, I don't fit that description at all. So why would you pull me out and then pat me down for that? And, you know, after that, I started thinking, yeah, I mean, all it takes is the color of your skin to be identified of something, person doing something wrong. I mean, it's unfortunately that you have situations like that. But there has been a lot of times, you know, you go into a store, somebody's watching you, or you go, you're walking in the mall. You got people watching you and following, you know, seeing if you're going to steal and those type of things. So being black in America is a challenge. And definitely in Bloomington Normal, where you have a lot of people, where I found out a lot of people here have never been around black people. Well, a lot of people grew up in certain little areas where they wouldn't be black. So they don't know how to respond to how black people think, how people talk, you know. And I noticed when I first came here, there was difficulty trying to connect with people other than other races.
Why do you think that is?
I think being different, to come from different backgrounds, different experiences. Mm-hmm.
It goes back to you mentioning culture shock. Do you feel like that happens if the tables are turned, or has that happened with you, where people like are trying to get to know you as a human as opposed to, I don't know, just... that's a black man, we don't want to talk to him?
No, I don't think so. And it's so funny you asked that question, because I actually had this question posed to me similar at work. And I was told, I've been at a place I work at for 25 years, and I still have people who come in, new people come in, and they'll work there 2 or 3 months, and then they'll come back to me and say, you know, when I first started working here, I was afraid of you. And my question is, why? I mean, I don't talk a lot. I don't say a whole lot. I'm key to myself. I mean, the only perception I can grab from that is that I'm a big black man. And why would you be afraid of me? You know, you wouldn't be afraid of somebody else who's white. And same, I've never heard that, but I've had many people come to me and say they was afraid of me.
Where do you think that comes from?
And that's my question. Where did that come from? Why? Because I'm different. I'm not from what you're used to or used to seeing or used to being around. Or, you know, like you say, people don't take the time to get to know you before they start judging you. Yeah, I always wondered, and I have not found someone to give me an answer why. Some people that get to know me, they know I'm probably the kindest guy, but yeah, I have a lot of people that say that they fear me. Well, to me, that sounds like a personal problem that they have. I'm just trying to be a regular person just like everybody else. But you are treated and seen different if you're black and Bloomington normal. That's definitely the way things are here.
How can you thrive in Bloomington normal?
I don't know if you can. It takes time. It takes patience. And it's not on their part. It's more so on our part, because it makes you frustrated. You can get upset easily. Someone can say the wrong thing, which people say the wrong thing a lot because, like I say, they don't understand your culture and the type of things that you are used to hearing or things are being said. Some of the jokes I hear, I've been around guys who say some racist jokes. You know, I don't find that funny, but, you know, you find people that they do. You know, to me, it's all the Willie Lynch mob, what I call it. 'Cause I just don't, you know, things that are not American or safe for all races is not safe for one person to say. So no, I don't know. I don't know if it's a way to get a fair shake sometime here in Bloomington Normal, because that's something you're going to have to deal with first. Race, your performance, things, you know, and what I found out that a lot of times white people are afraid of what you may say or what may come out of your mouth. I know there's been many times I've wanted to speak in our staff meetings and so forth, but my supervisors wouldn't let me speak. I'm realizing now that they wasn't sure what's going to come out of my mouth. I think they're afraid of what may come out, because I try not to be very vocal. I try to keep to myself, and because I don't, like I said, a lot of things about their culture I don't understand. A lot of things about my culture they don't understand. You know, I don't say a whole lot, but when I do have some things to say, I'm going to say them.
Can you be afraid of what they're going to say?
Well, and that's what we live with. I live with it every day. I never know if I'm calling to an office or calling to a meeting and someone's addressing me. Like I explained before, I don't know what's coming out of your mouth, what you're going to say, what you even might accuse me of. I mean, it's instant fear, because I don't know what's coming out of your mouth. I don't know what you're going to say, what you're going to address me for, what I did wrong. A lot of times, they don't even ask you, well, did you do this or do you know about this? They'll tell me, well, they'll say comments like, well, why did this happen or why did you do that? Not even asking if I did it. So, I mean, that's the fear that you live in as a black man.
What do you see can come of what's happening right now with the protests and the activism?
Well, I tell you what, it is definitely opening a lot of eyes and ears for people. You know, for years I've always heard Caucasian people say, that didn't happen, or if they would have did this and that wouldn't have ever happened to them, and so and so. But I tell you what, it's eye-opening now that they're getting to see some of the things that been happening. I've been seeing all my life. What's going on now is not new. The only thing new about it is you're getting to see visuals of it now. You're actually getting to see it on tape. Police brutality and those type of things that have been going on, I know, ever since I was a little boy. Now, this grabbing and choking and those things, the only difference now that it's being filmed and everybody's able to see it. They're really seeing what black people have been dealing with for years. And then things that we've been screaming, fighting for, talking about, that they're starting to actually see the reality of it.
What kind of change would you like to see in Bloomington Normal?
In Bloomington Normal, just for example, the law enforcement, they have to put some people of color on the police force. They have to involve people of different races and cultures in every aspect of what goes on in this town. Diversity on how things are handled, how things are perceived, how things are presented. So, I mean, it's not only Bloomington Normal, the world has to change. They have to make change to include people of different races and colors. And that includes the leadership. The leadership has to make some changes, and diversity is probably the first step. Getting more people involved within the companies that they work in, and we got to make some changes that benefit the whole, not just some people.
You stayed. Why'd you stay?
Bloomington normally is much slower, much laid back, and I started getting used to that type of lifestyle. Now, it took me 2.5 years to get used to it. Yeah, it took me a while, because when I first came down here, I was going back to Chicago every weekend. And after 2.5 years, I kind of slowed down. I slowed my life down, and I just started thinking, I'll probably live longer being here. I had some very interesting friends in college where there were some guys who, they were like on the edge of starting race wars, and then I had guys who were just calm. So, I was around a lot of different people, so I learned how to adapt to a lot of things. So it wasn't as bad as I thought, but I always figured, hey, I'm not too far from home, so I can always go back home if I needed to. In college, it was much worse. The police was always harassing black kids, black students for sure. I mean, I know I hung around a lot of athletes, and I know sometimes we'll be just driving around town. Just say if we went to McDonald's, and if four of us in a car, there's a 90% chance that there was going to be a police officer following us. And if somebody drank something from a cup, there was another 90% chance that we'll get pulled over and be checked to see what was in that cup. And that used to happen a lot around here, where we would be in a car and we'll get pulled over and police asking, what do you have in a cup? And we would see him behind us, so we know. I know a couple of times we were like, watch this. And see, we drink some out of the cup, and here come the lights. And this is mostly during the daytime. Nighttime, it was, normal was always not a good place to be for people of color.
Do you think it's changed?
I really don't know, because what happened is, and unfortunately, knowing and going through those type of things, I stayed away, and I try to stay away from normal at night. Mm-hmm. So I don't even try to go in there to even find out if those things have changed or if they're still the same. Unfortunately, now the agency that I work with, I do work with some normal policemen during the day doing some certain actions that happen at work. Sometimes I wonder if it's at the work and I get pulled over and those same cops who I work with, I always wonder how would they treat me after working with me all day with the people I work with, and now you're pulling me over for a traffic stop or something. How would you respond to me? Would you act like you didn't know me? Would you act like I'd done something criminal? When you see all these things on TV, I don't know if they'll pull me out of my car and slam me. They ain't that big to slam me, but but yeah, I don't know. I really don't know, because I guess I really changed my lifestyle to be not to be out too much at night, mm-hmm. especially in normal, due to, the history of, being pulled over and sometimes just harassed. And like you say, it's not real blatant. It's just subtle things. Pull it over all the time, or lights, or, you could be stopped somewhere. The police gonna stop and, hey, what you doing? What are you doing over here? What are you doing over there? And same things like for parties, These white people have parties, they all on the roof. Black people can have a party in their basement. They coming in their basement. And people drinking, and, it's supposed to be a law, not supposed to be outside drinking.
Any last things you want to say, Aubrey?
I think things are getting better here. I think what's going on in the world and society now has opened a lot of people's eyes to see that some of the criminal behavior that have been mentioned and talked about for years are truly going on, and people are starting to sway their opinion or their thought process about, especially about Black Lives Matter. It killed me when people say all lives matter. Yeah, they do. But all lives are not being treated just like Black Lives Matter. I don't see too many white people being killed and beaten by the police like I see Black people do. It's all eye-opening, I guess, to people now that are really seeing what we have been fighting for and what we've been living through all our lives. And the struggles that Black people have, the struggles Black America, period, is what you see now. And I think the white people are starting getting a little taste of what we've been going through for years. People really don't realize what white privilege is until it's taken away. And I think with this COVID-19, a lot of that white privilege was taken away. You were treated and You were told not to, you couldn't go here, you couldn't do this. And a lot of people took that personal. First thing hollering, well, this is America. Well, it's been America for black people forever. But there's a lot of things that have been taken from us. Even, well, hey, our lives has been, we didn't ask to come over here. COVID-19 has given the world a time to reflect and to see that everything is not equal.